So much you have to teach us, me. Would you open our hearts to believe in you, to put our trust, to put our hope in you, that you would do that work of transforming us, our mind, our mouth, our hands, our heart, our bodies, and even our feet where we go. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Come and meet us. Come and teach us. Come and bring your life transformation. Open our eyes so we could see you and hear you with open ears. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Today, we are continuing on in our series called Believe. And the whole idea of this Believe series is to look at some of the core beliefs that we have in our faith, in our understanding of who God is, who He has made us to be in relation to Him and in relation to others. So our core beliefs, so that we can live the story of the Bible in order to become more like Jesus. And so the first part is about thinking about what we believe, but not just thinking about what we believe, moving it down to our heart. And when it moves down to our heart, it actually comes out of our hands and our feet and our mouth. It comes out of us in actions, in practices. And so the second part of our series was about acting and practicing what we believe. And then the third part is about not just acting it out, but actually becoming. When you do something over and over, they say 27 times, right? You do something 27 times or 27 days in a row, and it becomes kind of a habit. It becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of who you are. I'm trying that with my dog. He's not getting it. I kept telling him, 27 times we've done this. Aren't you getting it yet? No. Oh, maybe it has to be in dog years. Oh, I didn't think about that. Thanks, Woody. You know how long it's going to take me? And it makes you kind of want to... Patience. Patience is where we land today. What do you believe about patience? What do you know about patience? I'm going to ask you in a couple minutes to define it for me, but you have to define it without using an example. Okay? Because sometimes we like to define words, but we have to use an example in order to explain it, right? But I want you to try and define the word patience without using an example. Oh, just wait. Hang on. We're going to get there. Just this word, though, this word patience. I'm not sure about you, but catches my heart just a little bit because, boy, this is another one of those sermons that you preach, you know? You got to preach and I got to tell you. But I also know what's going on right here. Those three fingers, they dig deep into my chest. Just that word enough to remind us, most of us, that we haven't arrived. I don't care who you are. I know that you sometimes struggle with being patient. It doesn't matter whether you're a kid or a senior adult. There's times when others, people, just somehow get to you. It could be just a word. It could be a look. It could be an action. They get to you. I don't even have to ask you that. I know it. Just last night, there was a football game on TV, and boy, it tried my patience. Wasn't trying yours, was it, Sue? No. You guys were quite happy. Anybody in red and white? I had to smile when I read the story of a man whose car stalled in heavy traffic, and just as the light turned green, he couldn't get that sucker started. All of his efforts to try and start that engine, every single one failed. And you know what happens? You know what happens when you're in traffic and your car's not starting? What happens? Horns start going, "Come on, buddy! The light's not going to get any greener!" Everything he tried to do failed. Cars are honking their horn, they're just laying on it. In spite of his best efforts, the car would not start. Through the entire time, that light was green, and people behind him never slacked off the horn. And finally, he got out of the car, and he walked back to the driver behind him. He'd been laying on the horn throughout the whole process, and he politely said to the man, "I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. So would you mind trying to start my car, and I'll stay here and blow your horn?" It makes me wonder, does today's society and way of living encourage one to be patient? We live in the world of instant. Not just instant coffee or instant oatmeal. We're talking microwaves, matter. I need my food now. We're talking drive-through. It has to be fast, right? Do you know that the annual cost in the United States, I don't know what it is here in Canada, but the annual cost of people running red lights in the United States, $7 billion. Do you know how much time they save? An average of 50 seconds. Isn't that crazy? We're always trying to figure out how to cram more in, more things, more stuff. We need to do less. We need it to be done in less and less time. We allow less and less time for things to happen in our world. We want those items, that better washer and dryer to do my clothes faster because I don't have time to wait. We have so many gadgets. Boy, have you got room in your closet for all the gadgets these days? It's crazy. There's even a church in Florida that advertises a 22-minute service. Yeah, 22 minutes. Can you imagine? They promise that 22 minutes after the service begins, you'll be dismissed. The music is fast, the prayers are quick, the sermon's only 8 minutes long. Now, don't get your hopes up. It's not going to happen that way here, you see, because the research that I've done in the last few weeks indicates that a sermon on patience takes a lot longer than a sermon on any other topic. Proverbs 14:29. It's our key verse for this week. It says, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but the one who's quick-tempered displays folly." Patience. I think this virtue is most evident when it's missing. Isn't that true? It's most evident when it's missing. People seem to notice in me that I have an issue with patience when, they're on the end of my rope and I am being impatient with them. Isn't it interesting that when we talk about patience today, we often refer to the impatience? We say things like, "You're trying my patience." Or, "My patience is wearing thin." Or, "I'm just about out of patience with you." So much of this actually refers to our lack of it. And like those who pray, "Lord, give me patience, and I want it now. I can't wait for patience." So, now that you've had a couple minutes to percolate on what you think your definition of patience is, and I know somebody's already given us a couple really cool words, but I want you to just turn to a neighbor, just turn to somebody that you're familiar with, or find someone and just talk about this word patience for a second. Try and find it without using an example. Ready, set, go. Okay. How is that for you? Is that hard? Especially if I said you're not allowed to use the old-fashioned term long-suffering. If I told you you weren't allowed to use that term, does that make it harder? Because some of us, that's our go-to, right? Long-suffering. Anybody else? You get something over here? Anybody got something over here? Yeah, keeping your cool when people or circumstances push your buttons. Karen?
Learning.
Learning. Patience is defined as learning. That's almost deep. Yeah. Anybody over here?
Enforced non-responding.
I have to think about that one for a sec, Howie. Enforced non-responding. Interesting. That's interesting. Here's some definitions that I've found. Some define patience as to endure discomfort without complaint. People have been asking me, you know, they ask me in the morning, how you doing? I say, I'm trying not to complain. You know how that goes, right? First 15 minutes of the day, it's no problem. But then after that, the coffee's too hot, the oatmeal's too cold, or too runny, or too, you know, and we just, that, then we start to snowball. I found it interesting that one author that I was reading this week, he used the concept of complaining as almost like the opposite of patience. Stop and think about that for a minute. Instead of having patience and being quiet and waiting, we complain. Or our complaining turns us to a disgruntled attitude. Disgruntledness turns to anger. Anger pushes us far from being patient. Another one is patience is unhurried endurance in spite of adversity. We wait for what's worth waiting for, letting whatever takes place bring us kind of one step closer in our relationship with God. Patience is listed in Galatians 5:22. It's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember those words? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Patience is said to be a virtue. And that's in fact what we're looking at. We're looking at these virtues that are going to help us to live the story of the Bible to be more like Jesus. At the outset, when I think and I act and I be, can you put that very first, second slide up again? Because when I think about virtues, I think of this statement. I think about Jesus saying to me, this is who I want you to be. This is who I want you to become. And I'm so glad that he's not finished with me yet. Anybody else? I'm so glad, because I struggle. I struggle big time with patience sometimes, especially with that dog. If you haven't met him yet, you would know if you met him. Or just spend a weekend with him. And you have my permission to take him anytime. Take my dog, please. Sorry, dear. So in the Greek, because this is what it was written in. When we read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 that patience is a fruit of the Spirit, it's a part of that collective fruit. In fact, I think that the fruit of the Spirit is love expressed in all these other eight different ways. And I think, honestly, I really believe that the fruit of the Spirit is God pouring His love into us and it comes out in these flavors. Notice how all different fruit has different flavors? I think that that's the same here. It comes out in patience, in long-suffering, in suffering long. And so when we look at that Greek word, I got this big word in front of me, macrothymia. And macrothymia is one of those compound words, In English, we translate that word as patience. This Greek word's a compound word, and so from macro meaning long or slow, and thamia, as some would say, which means anger. And when you put these two words together, it carries that idea of taking a long time to burn with anger. In other words, it's the opposite of a short fuse. It's the idea of not getting mad over the little irritations that are so much a part of our everyday life. It's hanging on to our emotions when we feel like letting the fur fly all over the place. Over the silliest little things. Or maybe even the serious things. You've got to be honest. Sometimes it can be a real challenge. Let me illustrate. So, there's a man that noticed a lady in a grocery store with her 3-year-old in her cart. You ever been there, moms? Okay, as a dad, I've been there. My girls weren't too much of a problem, but my son was a lot of fun in the grocery store. I remember. The child asked for cookies. Her mother said, no. The little girl began to cry loudly. And patiently, this mother said, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long. The same thing happened in the candy aisle. This time the little girl kicked and screamed, and the mother said, there, Missy, only 2 more aisles, and then we'll be done. And at the checkout counter there, the child reached for the gum. When her mom said no, she began to scream louder than ever, and the mom said patiently, Missy, we'll be through the checkout stand in 5 minutes, and then we can go home, and we can both have a nice nap. There was a man following her, and he followed her out to the parking lot, and he just wanted to compliment this woman. Couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Missy. And the mother replied, thank you, but my little girl's name is Francine. I'm Missy. Okay, so just imagine yourself. Use your imagination for a second. You're in this irritating situation. Someone sticks a spiritual thermometer into your mouth to monitor how long it takes for your temperature to rise in that irritating situation. 1 year later, you're in the same situation. Would the thermometer show that it takes longer to overheat than the previous year? This is the journey our Father has us on. Boy, if we're growing in patience, that growing means that it's going to take longer and longer to succumb to frustration and agitation. Boy, I see some wise, wise faces in the room. And you have learned, and you're an example to us. Oh, keep being that example. So the Bible translators use this word long-suffering. They merge these two unique words to convey one thought. It's the idea that we will display restraint in situations where, you know, we may feel that we've got the right to criticize. We may feel like we're allowed to complain, that we can defend against, we can even attack another's behavior. But this virtue, it goes so deep. It goes to the idea that we ought to reflect the mercy that God has given to us. And we need to reflect that on other people as a sign of the work that God is doing in and through our lives. As a follower of Christ, I know that when I submitted my life to Him, that He came to live in me, and His Holy Spirit came, and He wants to live and dwell and in fact just kind of come out of us like this joyful river of hope that we're supposed to have. And as we submit to the Spirit and He starts working in and through us, this is one of the character traits that He wants us to have and to become. Come back to that place where we can suffer long before we get upset. The author of Hebrews reminds us how important it is to be people of patience. He says in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, it says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere." And here's an interesting note. This concept of persevere is very similar to the concept of patience. Suffer long, persevere, endure. These are the concepts. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He promised. Here's a question for us. How does God provide the help that I need to deal with the stress? Thank you. Practice. Practice is hard with patience. How do you practice? You know, there's some behavioral science stuff that is actually pretty interesting, that you can actually discipline your life to be more patient. They used to do it a lot a few years back. We don't do it so much anymore. We've run away from some of that discipline. They used to say, you know, if you take a book and sit down and practice. And you practice this way. Open to page one. Put a little pencil mark on page one. Turn the page. Put a little pencil mark on page two. Turn the page. And keep going. Don't speed up. Keep it the same. Discipline. Do you know what it does? It trains our mind. It trains our body. It trains us to be patient. I don't think there's anything wrong with some of that kind of behavioral science. But I do believe that I can't do it alone. And I believe that God wants, in fact, to do that work in and through us. I think that there's a couple of ways that for us to learn this. And one, the very first way that God provides help for our impatient souls is that, first of all, He set the example. He set the example. I want to come back to Matthew chapter 18. And there's a little conversation that happened right before Jesus told this parable. And this little conversation was between Peter and Jesus. And it's interesting because this chapter 18 is really interesting because Jesus started this conversation with them about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and you must become a servant and must become like a little child. And He talked about the parable of the lost sheep. And then He talked about a brother that sins against you and how to deal with that brother. And then Peter comes to Him, because I'm wondering if this question was going on in Peter's mind. Maybe about someone, because he just heard Jesus unpack what you're supposed to do if a brother's offended you, or if, you know, he's hurt you in some way, you should go to him and talk to him. If he listens, you've won your brother over, and there's unity. If he doesn't, bring another person and go and talk to him. If that doesn't work, bring a group of people, the elders. If that doesn't work, bring the whole church. If that doesn't work, shake the dust off your boots and move on. So Jesus is bringing this whole concept that we need reconciliation between brothers. We need reconciliation between each other. And Peter comes to them and says then in verse 21 of chapter 18, he says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Am I supposed to have that much patience with him, Jesus? Can you help me out with this concept? What is my attitude supposed to be here?'" How does Jesus respond? Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. Or 7 times 70. Wait a minute. What's he saying? What? Am I going to count that many times that my brother's offended me and I have to go back and forgive him again and again? I have to give him mercy? I have to have patience with him? Yeah. And then he told this story. And I think this story is quite amazing, of this king who forgave this servant all of this debt. And then we know that the servant went away and didn't have that same mercy with his friend. Who is this king? He's the one who has given us mercy, who has had patience with us, who has forgiven us. No matter what we've done, he's forgiven us. He has taken all of our sin and wiped it away. And on top of that, he continues to have patience with us. I love the scripture that says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. His kindness, his patient kindness with us leads us to repentance. See, his example, God's long suffering in dealing with us, provides us an ongoing model of how we should respond to others and even to the difficult circumstances. You remember in the Old Testament in Psalm 86, verse 15, it says, "But you, Lord, you are a compassionate and gracious God. You're slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." As I read this verse this week, I thought, there's a fantastic definition of patience. Slow to anger, period. Slow to anger. Yeah, the first way that God helps us with our impatient souls is that he's set an example for us. The second way is empowerment. God's Spirit gives us strength to see life through his eyes and not just view the urgency of the issue, but to be able to see people, things, situations, circumstances through his eyes instead of through our own. Sometimes it's a discipline that we have to actually stop and go, "Jesus, how do you see this situation? How do you see this conversation with my brother or my sister? And how do you want me to respond?" When I'm doing premarital counseling, I always challenge the people that I'm talking to. When we're talking about communication, there's a difference between responding and emoting, reacting. I say, you know, when someone does something to really bug you, do you react or do you respond? What's the difference? Well, reaction comes from our emotions. And it's that short fuse. Kaboom! I'm going to be responding to you with these words. Responding has a concept of using wisdom and actually reflecting before we speak. You know that concept? Think before you speak. Responding is a reasoned response. We can actually do that. We can be empowered by the Lord when we stop and we think, okay, God, how would you respond in this situation? It's a good question to actually stop and think through. And the third is by encouragement. Scripture is so filled with inspiration and stories, motivating words that help us to slow down and wait for God's timing and wait for his provision. There's stories all through Scripture. Boy, when I got so many verses that came to mind, to my heart. Just about every time we find a breakout of what love is, you find this word patience is in there somewhere. It's beautiful. It's all through the Scriptures. We got an example. We have empowerment by God and by His Spirit through us. And we have encouragement through the Scriptures. And this key idea for this week is right here. And it says this. Sorry, number 11. It says, "I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life." This is the patience that God wants from us. This key idea that I'm slow to anger. You know, I often write down this verse on my hand. If I'm going to a meeting and it's an important meeting, and even if it's not an important meeting, this is one that I have been learning since a teenager. I remember memorizing this verse way years ago back in Bible quizzing days. It's James chapter 1 and verse 19. And it says simply, everyone should be slow or be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And when I say it, I want to slow down even as I'm saying it. Because for me, and so I write it on my hand so that even in the meeting, I see it and I go, hey, Trevor, I want you to be quick to listen. I want you to be slow to speak. Bite your lip. And in this way, you are building, you're growing, you're learning patience, and you'll be slow to anger. I'm glad he's not done with me yet, because I have to keep writing that on my hand. And I love Paul. Paul in Ephesians, he writes, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I love that concept that we're challenged to put others before us. This love that God gives us, he wants us to give it to others, and by putting them before us. It's hard sometimes, because some of the people around me, I just don't think they deserve it sometimes. Wait a minute, do I deserve it? These are good questions. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This is character. This is the character that he wants to build in us, that the Spirit of God is building in us. In this verse, he places patience in the same company as humility, as gentleness, as love. Doesn't it make sense that a humble, gentle, loving person would also be patient? This quote I found, Ulrich Ruffart says this, patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. And so we come back to this story and we see this example of the king who had so much mercy and patience. Because that's what the guy asked for, right? Servant fell on his knees and he said, be patient with me. He begged. And I'll pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. This is the example of the king who is patient with us. And then he wants us in turn to share that with those around us. Oh man, I got to be patient with the people around us. Yes. Patience is a godlike quality. This is a godlike characteristic that he wants us to be working on and forming in and through our lives. God is described in Scripture as long-suffering. He puts up with people that the rest of us would love to be rid of. We would love to. It's been said, patience with others is love. Patience with self is hope. Patience with God is faith. Oh God, build my faith, give me hope, help me share your love. Let's finish with this. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with these things: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Doesn't that say to suffer long? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Which brings us right back to the table where we celebrate what Christ did for us. He chose to give his life for us. For our sin, for our brokenness, he gave himself willingly, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, to die there, to pay for my sin. He allowed himself to be strapped to a pole, to be whipped, to take our stripes, take what we deserved. How do we respond to that? We come in humility. We come and remember what He did, His great love given to us. And then we take it and we share it. And so when we come to this time at the table, we come to commune with God, and to recognize His great love for us. And we share it with one another. And we commune with one another in this celebration of what God did for us. Maybe that includes being patient with those around you. Maybe that includes forgiving as the Lord forgave you. Perhaps that includes having mercy, even as this king did. So I'm going to invite those that are going to help us with communion to just come at this time. And we're going to have you come to Jesus today. Come as though today you are coming right to Jesus. The bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us. The cup, which represents His blood that was spilled out for us, to purchase life for us. We take these symbols and we partake together and we celebrate what He has done for us. Now, here today, I'm going to encourage you to just come, partake right here, and then go back to your seats. And we're going to finish in that way. If you are in need of prayer today, I'm just going to stay at the front and be available to pray with you. Even as you maybe come and you finish, or if a prayer first and then go, that's fine as well. But let's pray. Oh God, You have so much to teach me, and I'm guessing each one of us here, about patience. And yet You were just a master. Oh, You had so much patience with the people around You. You had patience with Your disciples who were just nattering and just biting at each other all the time, wanting to be first. You had so much patience with them. You had patience with those that were rushing to see You. You had patience with the kids. You had patience with those that were in need in some way, shape, or form. Thank You for that example that You set. And thank You for the love that You have given to us by going willingly to the cross for us. And we want to celebrate with You today by coming and participating together in this symbol, this beautiful symbol of communion here today. Oh, Jesus, I would ask that You would bless us by Your presence. Bless us through this remembrance, that we would remember what You did. We would remember Your death, Your burial, and Your resurrection. And that we would be filled with the life that only You can give us. Be filled with Your Spirit in order to continue to grow in these virtues, to become more and more like You. And we give You thanks, even as we have this opportunity that we can come freely to this table and we can celebrate what You have done for us. In Jesus' name, we're thankful. Amen. Amen. Lenore's going to just play for us. And I just want to encourage you to just come and meet with Jesus. And if you need prayer, I'm just going to be here, and then we'll finish with a song as soon as everybody's come through.